Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, February 21st, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 7, page 91, in Working with Others, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with, See Your Man Alone. We're going to read this one paragraph only, ending in, Get Him to Tell Some of His. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 Steps, Kim T. for the 12 Traditions, and readers of our text are Julie E. B., K. P., and Janice P. M. Our greeter today is Leah S., and Dawn B. will do our announcements today, and Lynn S. is recording us. Thanks, Lynn. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, February the 20th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,147. That's 14147. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, February 21st, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,150. That's 14150. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read our 12 steps of OA. Lorraine, good morning.
Good morning. Lorraine and Ann in Oregon here. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Lorraine, for your service. Kim T., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA? Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, Kim T., for reading our 12 traditions of OA. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that does include the mute button on your phone. Please don't use that and just use star 1 to mute and then star 1 to unmute and to mute again. We'd appreciate that. That way we have a nice quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 91, and we're going to be reading the third paragraph, beginning with see your man alone. We're going to read that one paragraph ending in get him to tell some of his. And so we'll Julie E.B., please read our text this morning. Get us started, please.
Yeah, hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs, Colorado. See your man alone, if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up until the time you quit. But say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapade. Get him to tell some of his. So this is a wonderful paragraph because before I was had worked all 12 steps absently, I could not possibly have done this. You know, and I'm still a flawed person for whom self-centeredness is the root of my trouble. And but in here we see that working with others is really about focusing on them. When I was looking at my character defect, self-seeking, and praying for the opposite, which is altruism, I looked up altruism. It says giving without expectation of return. And when I would give in my life before this program, and sometimes now, I was always looking for some kind of return. What will I get out of this? If I do this, what happens? But here, I'm to focus on giving and sharing with this person without looking for a return, like, oh, wow, you did this, or, oh, I'm going to sign up and do what you did. Instead, you really are seeing the other person, whether it's on the phone or in person. You're seeing that person. You're focusing on them. You're engaging. Look at these active verbs. These are things that I mostly saw myself, engaged with myself, and turned the talk to myself. Some phase of the drinking, whether it's when I just started to pick up or whether it was when I wouldn't eat and go on diets or whether it was when I would be in bulimia or under-eating, overeating, telling somebody that, you know, I've been 300 pounds and bed-bound, six medical specialists, dying at 42 years old, and that if I can live free with over 100 pounds off for several years with my no longer, as someone said in this program, does my weight history look like an EKG? It's just a flat line. Just staying at that same weight, that's a miracle for me today. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. So we're going to listen and listen deeply. That gives us a better idea of how to proceed. We're going to focus on giving to them without expecting a return. Not communicative, share how hard it was, how you tried to stop, how many efforts you made. But do not go up to the person dying in the disease, it says, and say, okay, so now you've got to stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this. Then you got to get abstinence. Then you got to call me on the third Tuesday of each week. You know, it's really in this moment, it's about connecting and making that human connection, serious if they're serious and light if they're light. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B., for getting us started. Okay, so we are on page 91, the third paragraph, See Your Man Alone. We're commenting on that one paragraph only, ending in Get Him to Tell of Some of His. Who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Courtney M.
Courtney? Gotcha. Who else would like to share this morning?
Elena C.
Did I hear Elena C?
Yes, ma'am. Irene B.
Irene B. Can take two more.
Rachel P.
Gotcha, Rachel.
Natalie G.
Natalie G. All right. So we have our lineup. We've got Courtney M, Elena C, Irene B, Rachel P, and Natalie G. Go ahead, Courtney M. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Courtney M, recovered compulsive overeater in South Florida. I apologize, I'm outside. It's a little bit noisy. I'm trying to get to a quieter spot here. So one of the things that jumps out for me in this paragraph, and I know it's probably not the focus most people are going to take, but it's what jumped out at me, is the use of the word drinking career. Because my eating career, it really was a career. It was a whole lifestyle. It was a devotion. And so it's interesting to look at it from that perspective. But the other thing that jumps out at me from this paragraph is that, really, gosh, it's so gentle. It's such a gentle approach to the person who's still suffering, to just let them either talk or not talk, and not be forceful and not cram what I think is the perfect solution down somebody else's throat. If I can just kind of pull back from ego, because ego is what kind of drives me to push solutions down people's throats. If I can just pull back and just say, look, this is how it happened for me. Can you identify with that? Did you do that too? Have you ever been, you know, humiliated in public because as the results of things that you were doing? Or have you ever, you know, scraped up your knees because you were trying to run when you were 100 pounds overweight? Like, has that happened? Because that happened to me, you know, that kind of stuff. It's such a wonderful way to disarm somebody who may be really on the defensive because everybody around them has been pointing out that they need a solution. And I think it's just a great approach, and I'm grateful to have that guidance as I move forward and continue to reach out and work with others. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Courtney M. Elena C., you're up, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Elena. Star one to unmute, please. Elena? Okay. Irene B., you're up, and we'll try to get Elena next.
Hello. I'm so sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, is this Elena?
Yeah, sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted.
Okay.
All right. So
go ahead, please.
It's so good to be here to listen to this and read this paragraph. And I just am, this paragraph is a reminder for me of the way I am with others, the way I am with others who suffer, you know. And I think what has been mostly helpful for me is to just check myself and be aware of my body, because I can be a lot in my head. And when I'm in my head, you know, I'm inclined to like lecture and give advice. And, you know, and so when I'm aware and I just check my body, I see how much I'm in my heart. Because when I'm in my heart, I believe I'm really in connection with my higher power. And it's only then that my presence, the higher power within me, is going to help the other person. But I'm very grateful that I have this realization. And this realization today is because I've been impacted by the power of the 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Elena C. Irene B., you're up, followed by Rachel P. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know, I really love this big book. It is so clear in what it says. And I like this particular paragraph because it says, if he is this, then do this. If he is this, then do that. Well, that implies that you're listening very, very attentively. And I think that this paragraph is all about listening. But it doesn't, nowhere in there does it say listen and listen intently. But the author is telling us over and over, listen, listen, listen. You know, before you can respond to where they are, you have to be listened. You can't be thinking about what it is you want to tell them as they're talking to you. You've got to listen. And I'm speaking to myself as I say this because I am so embarrassed, but very frequently, I know what I want to say. And I can't wait for the chance to say it, but it's not about that. It is about listening. And I love the shares today. I love them so much because they highlight different ways that we can go about engaging in what they call active listening, you know, asking open-ended questions. And like for me, I'm very good at asking yes, no questions, but with a follow-up question, I can turn my yes, no question into an open-ended question. Like, you know, like, does this resonate with you? Is any of this making any sense? And if they said yes or no, then that gives me the opportunity to say, okay, how does it resonate or how does it not? Just to continue to get them to talk, because we're in the discovery stage right now, because not all programs, let me rephrase that, because we are all individuals and we have all followed different paths. And this, the medicine for me may not be the medicine for you. So we just have to be very careful to evaluate if they're open, if they're willing, and if they are, what do they need most help with? You know, what's going to help them get abstinent? Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be a belief in God or a higher power, rather? Or is it going to be focusing on powerlessness? I think these are important questions. It's not a cookie-cutter method. Different people have different strengths and weaknesses. And thank you for the opportunity to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Irene B. And Rachel P., you're up, followed by Natalie G. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I really like this paragraph. It's such a good reminder for me that we, you know, initially when we encounter a compulsive eater, we talk about the problem rather than the solution. And it's totally my MO to go right into the solution, to go right into what action I think this person needs to take. So I love this paragraph. And, you know, as we talk about the problem, we start to build trust with somebody, you know, like whether it's one-on-one with a person or sharing in a meeting, sharing in a speaker meeting. When I spend time talking about how bad it was, you know, what it was like, and building trust with other compulsive eaters, because there's just something really magical about sharing our habits, symptoms, and experiences, because other people out in the world, they don't get it. They can't understand, you know, what it's like to be so compelled to need to binge. Or restrict or purge or overexercise or whatever it is. You know, most people don't get it. And so when we connect in that way, we really build that trust. And for me, it's like such a good reminder here to do that, to listen and to talk about, you know, the problem before we start talking about the solution. Because if I don't talk about the problem, for me, I get amnesia. So not only am I building trust with this other person and starting to build a relationship, but I'm also helping myself, because otherwise, you know, even not even 2 years into recovery, like I forget how bad it was. I take for granted my recovery, and you know, I forget what my disease was like. And so it's really helping both me and the other person to talk about what it was like. And that's why I love speaker meetings so much. You know, we talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. But I find that most speaker meetings, you know, we spend more time than talking about what it was like than anything else. And there's a reason for that, I think. I'm just really grateful that I can continue to remind myself of what it was like and to serve others with my story, because there's power in my story, in our story. So thanks, I'll pass.
Rachel P. Before we hear from Natalie G., just reminding everybody where we're at, we're on page 91, the third paragraph. So we'll take some more shares after Natalie G. shares. Natalie, go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. This is Natalie G. from Southern California, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share today two things. One is these last two paragraphs have been really timely for me. Yesterday while I was on the call with you guys, a newcomer called who had been given my number, and we just had read that great paragraph, and people had shared, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, yeah, remember what it says. And I, you know, I don't know how well I did, but I tried to remember to just listen to her, you know, not to get interrogative, like, what did you do? But to, you know, ask her some questions and then to share with her my experiences, what it was like for me, and kind of just even to talk a little bit about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And but to do it in the way of, like, this is my experience with it. And it was really helpful, and I didn't have to try to figure out what should I say to this person. And it was, I found myself at the end getting a little into it. You can go here, and you can do this, and you know, that's my enthusiasm. I don't I don't judge myself too harshly for that, but I was like, oh, Natalie, time to get off the phone. Now you're trying to, you know, give her all the information, and so overwhelming. So that was really helpful, and thank you all for that. And then this morning, the sentence that jumps out at me is, if his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. One of the greatest gifts of working this program is we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I look at some of the things I did in my eating career, as someone said, my eating career, and I just have to laugh at myself now. Wow, the insanity, but not from a place of like, you were insane and you're crazy, but from a place of like, almost shaking my head in wonder, like, wow, look at what I did, and that is so hysterical. And it is. Some of it is so funny what I did. I'm not talking about the harm I caused people, but just the things anyway, I know we all have stories, but anyway, I just like that part because there's humor as well, and I wouldn't have been able to see that before being recovered and before working this program. It would have all been pain and judgment, and now it's not. So with that, I pass, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Natalie G. So we'll take some more names. Who would like to share on paragraph 3, page 91?
Cheryl Michelle H.
Okay.
Jody E.
Did I hear Cheryl okay. H?
Cheryl F., yes.
Oh, Cheryl F., I'm sorry. Cheryl F.
Mo H.
Okay, hold on. Mo, I think I heard you, but did I hear Santa?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
I did. Sure. Santa H and Mo.
Jody E.
Michelle.
Okay, Jody. And who was the next person?
I think Charles was.
Charles? Did I hear a Charles? Hello?
How about Michelle then?
Okay. All righty. And I can take one more. Michelle, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
J is in jewelry.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. J is in jewelry. And I can take one more.
Mary Grace H.
Mary Grace H. All right. All right. So we have our lineup. Cheryl S., Santa H., Mo H., Jody E., Michelle J., and Mary Grace H. Okay, Cheryl S., you're up, followed by Santa H. Go ahead,
yes. Good morning. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Thank you so much for the meeting today, moderator and the timekeeper and the sharers ahead of me. Yeah, this page is good for me, where I'm at in my life today. Engage in general conversation. You know, I like the emotional sobriety piece here. For me, it reminds me of true intimacy and how it's so important for me to relate to others, sharing my experience, strength, and hope. You know, at first, that's what it says, at first, engage in general conversation, sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And over the last several days, I've been having fellow travelers reach out to me and said, okay, you're in OA, we're connected, you know, our eating, yes, I can relate to that. They heard me share at meetings about how I used to overindulge in food, and it was all about the emotional peace and my spiritual malady, where I was at in my life, filling myself up, dissociating through food. I don't have to do that today. Thank you, God. And so I was just so moved by this paragraph. I had to keep reading it to see how it applies to me in my life. And it made me think about, you know, there have been times when I interacted with others who I felt triggered or harmed and off balance a little bit, and engaging in general conversation with them about my food. And now I see the change, because the change has occurred in me. And when I relate to other people, you know, I proceed with no harm, no force, but gentleness in my approach. And I'm so grateful today. Thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl S. And Santa H., you're up, followed by Mo H. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Montclair, New Jersey. And thank you to Team Friday for your service and all of you that make this meeting possible. As I was sitting here listening to all these great shares, I was thinking about my own experiences when I came into the room of A Vision for You, my first experience into OA. I wasn't ready to do the steps. It took me a year before I got desperate enough to do the steps for the first time. And what I did was listen to this meeting day in and day out. I read the book. My guide, I listened to her shares on the meeting, and I called her from time to time, and I knew that who I wanted. And I say all that and say that based on my experiences is what I seem to attract. And individuals that come to me, they are already familiar with this process. The ones that I can recall, I've been sponsoring for a while now, but in recent time, they're already familiar with this process. They're already familiar with me. Oftentimes, they know more about me than I know about them. And it's a wonderful connection for me because it just reminds me of what I did when I came in. So I was a pretty smart cookie. I knew what I was looking for. And I find that with my proteges as well. So when they first called me, or at least when I first recalled that they called me to want to work with me, I let them dictate the conversation. You know, it's just really, you know, what you want, what do you want to share about yourself? I just keep it as that. And what someone said earlier is so important is that I listen. I listen with no expectations. Just in my mind is how can I be of service to this fellow that's calling me? And the sharing goes in that direction. And then I will share afterwards anything they want to know about me that they don't already know. And I have found that, you know, I have found in my experiences that I don't come across newcomers, and this paragraph really talks about newcomers and how to engage that conversation. And I just want to just share my experience on this paragraph, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. And Mo H, you're up, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Sherry. How are you doing? This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. And I will agree with everyone ahead of me about this paragraph. But also I was thinking about this chapter as we were talking. And, you know, this chapter is, you know, directions on how to work with a new person. A prospect, and each paragraph gives us a little more detail. So in this paragraph, it says here to engage in general conversation first. I don't believe I've been doing that, so I think I'm going to add that to my repertoire of things, to just engage in general conversation. And then further down, it says, and this is the sentence I wanted to zero in on, if he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit. So what that is telling me is I am telling him about my problem, the problem I had for umpty-ump years. I am not telling him about my solution, the recovery. And so, that says if he's not communicative. But if he is communicative, and I agree with others, then I engage in active listening. And maybe they want to tell me their story of their eating career and some of the things they have done. And then we can get into a conversation about the problem. And then I get to a point where I ask them some questions. And the questions are in this book. Are you desperate? Are you done yet? Are you willing to go to any lengths? And are you willing to give up all control and get direction? But I don't do that initially right away. And now I'm going to add in general conversation, just general conversation. You know, where do you live? How did you find OA? Sometimes I'll ask them how they found the vision meeting. And, you know, what are you learning? Because when I first got onto the vision meeting, I felt like I was a dried up sponge and it was being watered by every meeting I listened to, and it just became this beautiful sponge that, you know, could do all the cleaning. And I just found so much recovery on these lines, so I can direct my person to this meeting if they're open to it. And I think that's all I have to say. I just think this paragraph, every one, gives us a little more information on how to work with a newcomer. So thank you. Have a great day. Great weekend.
Thank you, Mo H. Jody E., you're up, followed by Michelle J. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Sherry KB. Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Team Friday, for your service. My name is Jody E., and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Monterey, California. So we're talking about a prospect for Overeaters Anonymous, and we've been talking, I've been hearing about people who come to us looking for a sponsor, and I think we're also thinking to some degree about people who may not even know about Overeaters Anonymous yet. I have a friend in my mind since this week as we've been reading this, who is obese, and I have talked to her about Overeaters Anonymous in the past, but I've never really told her about my story, I realize now. I have not gone into detail about how bad it was for me and how compulsive I was. And if I get another opportunity, I think I'll try that next time. I also need to do that when I tell my story at an Overeaters Anonymous meeting, as was said. We share what it was like. And I need to do that particularly well, I think, because I don't look like a compulsive overeater. And I never did. So I really need to explain what I'm doing here. I was never significantly overweight. So I need to tell what it was like. I need to tell about the binging, the restricting, the obsession of the mind, the unmanageability of my life, the depression, the panic attacks, the heart palpitations, the contemplation of suicide. I need to tell about all of that so that people get it, that I am a real compulsive overeater. Otherwise, why would they listen to me? Otherwise, they don't know that I know what it's like. So this is a great reminder for me that I need to not only listen deeply, but also share my experience as a compulsive overeater. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Michelle J., you're up, followed by Mary Grace, and we might have time for some more shares, so after we hear from Mary Grace. Michelle J., you're up. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everyone here. I get to start by just thanking everyone so very much. The shares are incredible. Being the new kid on the block, you know, this morning I started out and had a problem with severe pain, and old Harlan, he had, you know, the great answer that just gives me another tool in my toolbox, because I love program and I love working with people, but I'm still new with this. And when I'm listening to everybody and I'm listening to, as I'm reading through all the stuff about working with people, being the new kid, I'm really fresh with this. Before program, I did not know how to have a decent relationship if my life depended on it. I thought I did, but I didn't. And because I'm recovering and recovered, and because I am working the steps and working with people, I am continually being changed. And in my changing, I'm becoming less selfless. I'm more selfless. I'm becoming more other-centered, which I thought I was all along, but I was not. I'm becoming able to be, and my term is going to be present. To me, that was the big thing popping up in my head this morning, is I'm learning how to be present for people, not only those people that call, that are on the line, that want to talk about OA, but just the people in my life. At 59 years old, I'm just learning that, and it's a joy and a pleasure to walk through steps 1 through 12 every day with new people, old people, people been around the block a few times. It is an incredible journey that just keeps that so fresh in my mind, and I am learning every day how to listen, how to hear. And if I listen to that other voice, that small, still, quiet voice inside, that God does help me, and I get to be present and hear what people are hearing, hear what they're needing, hear where they are, because I'm not worried about myself anymore. I'm not stuck on myself anymore. And yet, these little tools that everybody gave me, thank you, Harlan, this morning. I mean, all these great tools I'm getting from every single one of you, I put in my pocket and I let my phone stay on all day long. And if somebody calls me, I hope I've got an answer for them today, and I hope I can work with them today. And I'm just saying this, hopefully, humbly, and I just want to thank you all for all that you've invested in me. And with that, I'll pass.
Michelle J. and Mary Grace, you're up. Mary Grace H., you're up. And we'll be able to have time for a couple more shares. Go ahead, Mary Grace.
This is Mary Grace H. I'm a compulsive overeater in Monterey, California. You know, as everyone was talking, I was thinking, this isn't just about sponsorship. This is about talking to new people. I mean, a lot of people come in the room, they're new. They're not necessarily looking for a sponsor. They just want to learn more about the program. And as someone else pointed out, more about us. I've been back in OA since August, so I haven't sponsored anybody yet at this go-around. But when somebody does ask me to sponsor, the first question I ask is, what are you looking for in a sponsor? Because then that gives me the opening to listen to them, to find out what they are looking for. And then I have the opportunity to let them know if I can do that or not. Because not everyone is looking for the same thing. So, yes, I agree with what most everybody has said, that it's about listening. But I think it's about listening not just to somebody that we sponsor, but to everyone. I was also thinking about, since I've been back since August, I don't believe there's any new people that have come into the room here in Monterey. Every single person that I've seen at meetings was here in August. So for whatever reason, we're not getting new people in. So we have to talk to people in the community. You know, that's what some of the prior conversations were about. But again, I have to wait until somebody asks me, what did I do? Because people have seen me lose weight, and so people do ask me what I have done, and at first I was embarrassed because I don't like it, but now I'm just going to tell them I've been going to OA, because most people that in my circle know about OA anyway, and so I need to get over my own pride and say this is what I'm doing. But the one-on-one is so important, like I said, whether it's a sponsor, sponsee, or just another friend in Overeaters Anonymous. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mary Grace H. So we do have time for about two more people if they take 2.5 minutes each. Who would like to share?
Ginger C.
Oh, yes. Okay. Hey, Ginger. And who else?
Laura H.
Laura H. Okay. Go ahead, Ginger. Got 2.5 minutes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sherry, and thanks for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And again, these clear directions. You know, this paragraph is just so packed. And it starts off, just see the man alone if possible. And just like we saw with the paragraph before, you know, if family's around, is he going to share in the way that he needs to? Is he going to feel safe? And so one alcoholic to another, you know, this gift of the language of the heart, because that's what it's all about, is we want them to identify in. And because I have this disease, this addiction, I already have a great connection. You know, they know that I know we walk it this exact same way. And with this connection, we get to avert misery or death. We get to let them know, you know, there's an end to this. No matter how deep and no matter how down you are right here, right now, there's 12 steps to get out. It's not far to go. But most importantly, too, you know, this listening piece, this active listening. Am I listening while you're speaking, or am I thinking of my to-do list of what I have to get done? Because I may miss a really vital piece if I'm not really present and in the moment and paying attention. And, you know, again, too, with this listening piece, and this is the gift of this work, is we know each other. We suffer from the same illness, the same disease of not being able to stop eating once certain food ingredients and items are ingested. And we're dying in it. It's no longer working. And so I feel safe to share with you the truth. I feel safe to let you know what's really going on. And isn't honesty, isn't it the truth? That's what's going to set me free. And I feel that. There's no judgment. Thank you, God, hopefully. Because if there's judgment, there's a barrier, there's a block, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what I need to. And sadly, in society, we love judgment. We hold on to it. No one's exempt from it. But with this 12 steps, these principles in place, I have a chance just to speak from the heart, to share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, to give that person, that suffering person today, hope. Hold on. The pain ends. There is a way out of this nightmare. And then we just let God take the wheel. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. And Laura, I didn't catch the first initial of your last name. Laura?
I'm sorry. Yes. Hi, it's Laura H.
Thanks, Laura. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Well, you know, I have to share my experience, strength, and hope, and it certainly has influenced the way I treat others when I can be open-minded to it. For me, when I came in, when people would engage, you know, in what I felt was invasive questioning, when they were trying to make, I guess, personal conversation, which I think is how people mistake what's stated in the big book, you know. So people were asking me like invasive questions like, where do you live and what do you do? And I found that extremely off-putting. It really frightened me, to be honest, because I had been in other 12-step rooms and I didn't experience that kind of what I felt was boundary busting. And this is just for me. And so now today, when I speak to others, I really try to listen and to kind of feel what their boundaries are so that I'm not invading them kind of the way that I was invaded, because it really made it very hard for me. As I said, I'd not experienced that in, you know, other rooms I was in. So that's just my experience, and that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Laura H. We have about a 1 minute share if somebody would like to share. If not, we can stop early and hear about some newcomers. Anyone have a burning desire?
Hi, this is Gina.
I heard two people come in. Who was that, please? Hello.
Hi,
this is Sarit L.
Okay, I heard Sarit L. Go ahead, Sarit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. It's Sarit L. Recovered in Montreal, Canada, and really the shares have just been so powerful from what I've been hearing. And I only want to add that everyone's experience as when they enter the rooms, their experience is what they have, and my experience is what I have, that makes us so individual and unique in how we pass on the message, and that God uses every one of us tailor-made to serve another person. And I have found that in being sponsored and in sponsoring other people, I have found that to be completely true. God knows what I need and when. And the recovery that someone has and the pain that someone had, it's there. It's there for a purpose. It's all there for a purpose, and it's like a puzzle piece. And God knows, you know, who to put with who. And just not to regret the past. That's part of the promises we have in step 10, and we carry that message to someone so perfectly. And we're just, you know, a perfectly imperfect human being, but a perfect messenger of God to serve another suffering human being. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Sarit L. Well, what a great meeting today, folks. Thank you so much for all your shares. That's all the time we have today. I want to take the time to take Team Friday. Lorraine N., Kim T., Julie E.B., K.P., Janice P.M., Leah S., and Don B., and Len S. So now we will hear from K.P., and she's going to read our closing of Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Okay? Page 164.
Right. Good morning. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you